have with your friend. I do get pleasure in having people do an actual friend.
All right, Tony Budding here, and I'm here with Vince Shim. Mm-hmm. And Vince had an extraordinary experience this August, right?
Yes.
And, well, why don't you just tell us about it?
Yeah, briefly what happened is a friend of mine had set out in August to hike a peak called Castle Peak, just outside of Aspen. It's 14,265. We hiked the peak about 3 hours. We were on top at about 9 o'clock. We were making our descent, and we had gotten down through the most difficult part pretty uneventfully. As we had come really off of the summit and off of really the majority of the descent, we had to traverse across the snow basin. As we were walking across it, we were almost off of the ice field, the snow field, when a hole opened up, and I literally just plunged down into a crevasse, probably about 25 feet deep.
How long have you lived in Colorado?
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the chances? I mean, how much of a fluke was it? I mean, should you have known that it was risky walking across? What's the...
It was a real fluke situation. I've talked to a lot of people since, and some very experienced Colorado mountaineers, and they were astounded. They'd never heard or seen of anything like this in our mountains.
Wow.
You know, it happens a lot in other parts of the world, in glaciers primarily, but in our area, it's, you know, again, talking to some very experienced mountaineers, people who've, you know, talked to two people in particular who've climbed all 54 of the state's 14,000 foot peaks,
wow,
both summer and winter, and they've never heard of that happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I guess we call that the peak. There's a saddle here. This is going to be in two dimension. There was another peak here. Okay. Our ascent came up this way, up the ridge. There was a ridge line coming this way. And our descent, we came down this ridge into the saddle. And from about here down, this was all snow. Okay. We came down to here. Instead of backtracking our way down the ridge, which would have been safer, obviously, but would have taken much longer to come down and then traverse back to this point to continue the descent, we came down this ridge to this saddle where the snowfield was, and from here down to the flat part, we glissaded, which is basically you sit on your butt, you hold your ice axe as a rudder, and you just slide down. So we slid down to here. This was flat. We get out to here, and we're back on rocks again. There was a well-beaten path kind of right at the bottom of this glissade where everybody kind of walked out of this basin. Okay, we came down. We were walking along the path, and we were literally probably 5-10 yards from the rocks, and I stopped for a minute, and I backed up to take a picture of something. And when I backed up, I kind of came back about here, took a picture. My partner was over here at the time, and I kind of veered off this path just a little bit, and then right about here is where I fell through.
What kind of gear are you like? What kind of clothing are you wearing?
At the time, when we got on the summit, I just had on a short sleeve shirt and some shorts because it had warmed up. By the time we got to here, I put on some shell pants and I put on a long sleeve shirt because, you know, even in August at 14,000 feet, it's cold.
Right.
And so I had put on a long sleeve shirt and I put on some shell pants at the time to slide in, and that's all I was wearing.
And what's your shoe situation?
Hiking boots.
Hiking boots.
Yeah. I really didn't realize what happened until after it was happening. It was so quick. Just in an instant, the lights went out. You know, I just went from sunlight into darkness. And I could feel myself banging around, and I was falling long enough. It wasn't very wide. It was maybe 3 or 4 feet at the most. So my body and my head were pinballing off the rocks as I was going down. But I was falling long enough to realize what was happening to me before I stopped.
Okay.
So,
and what stopped you?
The narrowness of the crevasse. I basically, you know, the whole thing kind of came down like this, and at just one point I just wedged. Between my body, my backpack, it had just gotten to a point where I couldn't fall any further.
Okay.
And that was still probably 10 feet short of the bottom.
Okay.
I'm wedged basically between my shoulders and part of my backpack. At the very bottom, the crevasse, after I had been down there to kind of orient myself, it was vertical here, and then it kind of sloped in this way a little bit. And the other side was more or less straight up and down, I guess. And, you know, as it opens up towards the top, and then, you know, right about here, I guess, was the hole where I went through, and it expanded, I would say, looking from down below, 50, 60 feet all the way across, and actually went underneath this path that everybody was crossing. Wow. So I got stuck, I'd say, somewhere down in about here, kind of wedged in, not quite at the bottom and not quite where it was vertical, so there were some small little ledges that I could kind of put my feet on, and I was able to kind of hold my elbows and arms out to keep from going any further once I was down in, and then from there I could, you know, see up at the hole and basically see how large or how wide this actually was.
Wow. And pain. Do you feel any pain at this point?
Not much at that time. I'd banged my head up pretty good, and that was really the most significant of my injuries. I had trouble seeing, and there was an awful lot of water running in at the time underneath the snowpack. Meltwater was coming down in, so it was pouring water on me. I had a lot of trouble with my vision. I thought it was from hitting my head, and I really didn't realize it until a little bit later, so I saw a lot of blood on the ice and snow that I couldn't see because I had so much blood in my eyes.
Wow.
So, and it turned out I had a pretty significant gash. It kind of tore this eyebrow off here. And
all right, so now what are you thinking? What's going through your mind?
When I fell in, I knew that there was really not many people in our area. You know, I mean, this particular area, when you're in this basin, you've got a good view of the surrounding peaks, the entire basin, everything that's there. We'd only seen, I think, three people on the summit up here, two of which were continuing on to summit here. And we saw a couple others coming up the ridge. So I knew there was not many people around. I knew my partner and I, neither of us were carrying rope. It just wasn't something you'd carry on this kind of a climb.
So what was in your backpack?
I had just about everything in my backpack except for something to get me out of the crevasse. I mean, we were carrying, really, we were pretty well prepared. I mean, we had first aid supplies. I had materials for fire starting. We had materials for emergency overnight shelter. We had clothing for any kind of weather conditions we might encounter. You know, stuff to get us through a day or two or a night in the mountains should something happen.
Okay.
You know, but a rope was just something nobody would have carried on this because it really wasn't, a technical climb by any means. You know, and it attested by the fact that by the end, when all of these other climbers had gathered to assist, there wasn't another climber on that mountain that had a piece of rope either.
What are the first kind of orienting thoughts that you had?
I guess, well, one of the first things I was thinking was I was hoping that my partner would take a kind of a circuitous route getting to where, because I could see exactly where this thing went, and I knew where he was. And I was initially thinking that, you know, if he comes directly back at me, that could be a problem.
Can you move at all?
I can move a little bit. I actually moved, as this crevasse ran this way, I was getting covered with so much water. And I could see that maybe from here to this wall in front of me, you know, maybe 15 feet, there was an ice block that was just above my head level that was also wedged in. And my thought was at the time, if I can get over and get underneath that, one, I can shelter myself from some of the water that's coming in. But two, and my biggest concern being down there was that where I had come through, there was more snow and ice and big chunks of heavy ice and snow breaking off and falling.
Okay.
And I was really concerned that the hole I created in the melting August snow compromised the integrity of this bridge, and any part of it or all of it could collapse. And it was, you know, the snow was, I'd say, maybe 3 feet thick, and it wouldn't have taken a real big piece of that to hit me, knock me into the bottom, and cover me up.
Right.
And so that was really my biggest fear, is that if this thing collapses on me, you know, I don't have much time.
Right.
You know?
Right. What are the walls like?
It was not quite vertical where I was standing. I was actually kind of leaning slightly against it. Just above me, it turned vertical. What I did was, seeing this ice block over there, I was able to traverse my way across by turning, pushing my back into one wall, pushing against this, kind of just working my way across any little ledges I could find while trying to sandwich myself tight to prevent falling. I was able to get over under this ice block, one, to shelter me from the water, and two, hopefully as protection should any other part of this snow bridge collapse.
Right.
So I was able to work my way under, and that's where actually I spent the bulk of the time down there, and there was just one little ledge, which I had one foot on. This foot I had nothing to stand on. I kind of had to lean against the wall, and I spent most of the time in this sort of position right there.
Wow. And that wall is rock or ice?
Ice, wet ice.
Wet ice, yeah. Both sides.
Wet ice was just, I mean, I could see rock in behind it.
Okay.
It was fairly dark, mm-hmm. but it was primarily just wet ice.
Okay. Yeah. And slick.
Very, yeah. It was very slick. I had an ice axe. I thought, well, maybe I can sink it in and, you know, work my way up. But first, I couldn't get it to purchase at all. Second, even if I did, without two of them, there's just no way, because absolutely no potential for use of my feet on a wet, icy wall.
So you don't have any crampons?
I didn't have any crampons, no.
Okay. And gloves?
I had gloves on. About halfway in, I dropped one of them. I was taking them off every 15 or 20 minutes and wringing them out, because I wanted, the one thing I wanted to keep warm was my hands, because I knew I may need them for something.
Right.
So I would occasionally take them off, wring them out, and put them down the front of my pants to keep my hands and fingers warm so that my hands just didn't freeze up on me. And in the process of sticking one under my arm and going back to get it, I dropped it and fell to the bottom. So I had one on.
What's the time frame between when you fall and then when you move yourself into that sort of protected?
It was within the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
I spent a few minutes where I was, just kind of getting my bearings, cleaning blood out of my eyes so I could see. And then figuring out how I was going to get there before I actually moved.
Right.
But it wasn't very long. I'd say 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Till.
And did you get dry under there, or was it still just?
Well, I was already soaked through by that point.
Right.
You know, it was coming in like a shower.
Okay.
So it only took a couple of minutes, and I was soaked to the bone.
Okay.
Yeah.
It
was a little more pleasant standing under there being protected, which is, you know, one of the reasons I did it rather than just standing in the pouring water. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're there 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How long was it? Had you made contact by that point?
Yeah, I made contact with Sean before I moved over there.
Okay, so you get under that little ledge, mm-hmm. you get a little relief from the water coming down. Where are your thoughts going now?
I guess once my thoughts got past my family and what, you know, and getting beyond the worst case possibilities.
So you go there, your mind's like,
oh yeah, it goes there for a minute. Yeah, it goes there for a minute, but then it, you know, I quickly realized that, you know, I can't stay there. You know, I got to start thinking rationally, start thinking logically. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, I was pretty limited with my resources, but you know, maybe if I came up with an idea, I could throw it up to Sean, something. It was just, you know, thinking what's going to happen here. How do I keep myself warm in case I'm down here for a long time?
You're trying to be positive, trying to be logical, mm-hmm. trying to think of what you can do.
Right.
What are your options? What do you think? What are you looking at?
At that point, really, I thought the only option was going to be was if another climber had a piece of rope. And I still really didn't know what we're going to use that rope for, whether I was going to tie it around my waist or if they were going to get eight people on the end of it and drag me up it. Or how that was going to happen. After, I guess, another hour or so, well, it probably wasn't that long, I knew he had made contact with one other climber. He had gotten on his stomach and got his head down so I could actually see his face, and he was trying to find out how far down I was. I was completely unaware of what was going on at the surface. After an hour or so, my partner was able to gather up probably about eight other climbers or so. Probably everybody who was on the mountain at that time. I think once one or two people were there, since we're in a very high visibility area, I think people said, hey, something might be wrong there. Let's go down and see if we can help out. So there was several people who had gathered. And at that point then, I realized that nobody had rope. I didn't know how many people were up there, but the other guy who was assisting Sean started lowering things down to me, saying, how far is this from you? How far is this? Essentially what he was doing was taking the leashes off of everybody's ice axe, which is, you know, a piece of webbing maybe this long, and any miscellaneous pieces and parts to lower down. And that's when I knew, okay, well, nobody up there's got a rope. So as he kept lowering pieces, like, you know, is this long enough? Is this long? And I said, no, I need, you know, however many more feet. And so all these odds and ends are hooked onto each other. And even the one of the last times he lowered it down, there's a dog leash on it, you know. And so it was just an assortment of ice leashes and pieces of webbing and belts and dog leashes and anything that could be gathered from everybody who was up there.
What then happened? How'd you get out?
What happened was, is after they had gotten a sufficient enough amount of material to reach down, they were able to get it down close to me, not quite. And it was basically hanging up above this ice block I was sheltering myself under. And the other fellow who was assisting my partner yelled down, he said, can you get on top of that ice block? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I can try, which pretty much led me to believe that that was all the material they had. So at that point, I thought, well, I guess I have to get up on top of this block.
Yeah.
So he said, well, get up there, you know, get up on top. And so essentially, I had to kind of lean back a little bit, reach up. I was able to get me, you know, most of my forearm not quite on it. I was a bit hesitant to do that and try and get myself up, because had I slipped or come off of it, then, you know, taking that ride again, but this time probably backwards and head first. But given that, you know, at this, the amount of time had passed and the amount of people that had gathered and the amount of material they had put together, you know, this is probably the shot I'm going to get, unless I want to wait a half a day for somebody to go come out and rescue.
Right.
And so I wasn't willing to do that. So I made up my mind to get up.
Did you use your axe here? Or,
No, I passed my axe up, because they were using that axe and another one as anchors for the lines that they had hung down.
And how did you pass it up?
After he lowered down enough material, I was able to basically tape, it was, you know, probably about 3 feet long. I was able to kind of reach up and just hook the tip of it on a piece of the material that he had lowered, and he pulled it up.
And could you have grabbed hold of that? Could you have pulled yourself up like that, or?
No. No, I mean, that would have been, you know, a one-arm pull-up on a just a smooth, wet metal shaft.
Okay.
So, no, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
After the axe was up, he actually took that up fairly early. And what he did is he actually fashioned two lines coming down.
Okay.
Each one was anchored right at the edge, right at the lip to the axes. The two lines came down. I had to get up on this block, so I was able to get most of my forearms up there, and, you know, essentially I had to do a muscle up onto this wet block of ice. So I was able to kind of get up, get my chin over, and kind of just, you know, kind of worm my way up on top and get up on top of this and stand up on the block of ice so that I was within reach of the two lines.
Was there any risk of that wedged ice moving?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that risk was, but it was a thought, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was hoping that it would support my weight. Once I had gotten up on top of the block of ice, the lines were within my reach. All of the pieces were very narrow, slender pieces of webbing, all wet. My hands were pretty cold and wet at that point. And they said, you think you can get up there? I said, well, let me try. And as soon as I kind of grabbed a hold of them, I knew there was no way. There was no grip. There was no way I was going to be able to hold these lines. And so I yelled back up. I said, can you put some loops in these? And not my partner, but one of the other fellows who was there helping out said, yeah, let me see what I can do. Pulls them back up. And at that point then, I think is when everybody started tearing off, you know, just little straps of webbing off their backpacks, anything they could get that would be long enough to fashion a loop. And he was able to put together a series of loops on each of these lines in a knot that would bite under tension. Okay, so once I knew he had enough, you know, I yelled up, I said, are you going to be able to do it? And he's like, yeah, just hold on, and I can get loops in these. And that was the point where I know I was getting out. You know, at that point, I was literally thinking to myself, you know, thank God I CrossFit. That's going to get me out of here. You know, I mean, that is absolutely what will get me out of here. If they drop these lines, they've got loops going up in both ways, I'm out of here. No problem.
What did CrossFit have to do with this? Like, what experience had you had with CrossFit that was making you confident?
You know, I've been CrossFitting for about a year. And, you know, just in the course of an ordinary CrossFit workout week, between warm-ups and the workouts of the day, you know, there could be up to 200, 300 pull-ups in a week. And pull-ups are very strong for me in general. You know, I love doing pull-ups. So I was just very confident, and I knew because of all of the training I've done and because of all of the pull-ups I do week in and week out, that it was absolutely not going to be a problem getting up that line.
Wow.
You know, so, and that's the first, I mean, I was just overwhelmed with confidence at that point going, I'm out of here. Then there was the one last problem was that I couldn't reach the first handhold, and it was still probably maybe a foot or two above where I could reach it. He looped the holds a little bit too high, though the ropes came down, you know, maybe to about this height right here. So at that point, I was wearing a belt made of webbing. Took off my belt, looped it around the bottom. The last piece on one of these lines was a dog leash. So the loop was at the bottom. I looped my belt on enough, I was able to kind of pull my foot up, get it in, and step on it to propel myself up to get that first hold. And as soon as I got that, then I flew up the lines.
Wow. And are you like using your feet against the thing, or are you just doing straight?
No, just hanging. Yep. Couldn't use feet. The wall was soaking wet. I didn't even try. I knew it was going to be futile.
Wow.
Yeah. There wasn't much more after that. I got up. I mean, I was able to pull myself right up to the waist and pull out. They grabbed me and yanked me out of there, and you know, I got back down the mountain.